Let me ask you a question, my friend. Are you constantly losing the same battle? Do you think that you have victory, that you've won, and then again you find yourself overcome by the same problem, by the same besetting sin? What is the problem? Is there no release? Is there no victory? Oh, beloved, there is victory, and we're going to talk about it today as we look at God's precepts for life. To share with you today, beloved, is absolutely crucial if you're going to know victory. What breaks my heart is to find so many believers in Jesus Christ that are living in this cycle of defeat, a cycle that God never intended us to live in. It says this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And so you and I are to walk in victory. We're to walk in the power and in the freedom of the Holy Spirit. And yet so many people aren't experiencing that. And I think they're not experiencing it because they really haven't done what we see David do in picture form for us in 1 Samuel chapter 17, when he goes against this looming Goliath and fells Goliath. What happens afterwards? Because after he brings them down, I think that's where we find the secret of having a continuous victory rather than living in a cycle of defeat. So let's open our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17 and let's see what happens next in the saga of David and Goliath. And as we look at it, I want you to remember that God wrote these things for your instruction. He has pictures here that he wants you to see as pictures of truth. All right. Not that we pull things out of the scriptures and make them say what they don't say, but rather we take this incident, which illustrates truth, and we take the truth and put it together, and you and I then have the victory that is able to overcome the world, which is our faith. Faith is taking God at his word. It's understanding it. So in 1 Samuel chapter 17, remember, David has tried on Saul's armor. It doesn't work. He puts it aside. He simply picks up a sling. He picks up 5 smooth stones. He puts them in his pouch and he goes out to meet the Philistine. Now you're marking the Philistine here. And let's see what happens. It says in verse 41 of 1 Samuel 17, then the Philistine came on and approached David with the shield bearer in front of him. Now you've got to get the picture. They're out in the middle of this huge valley. The army of the Philistines is on one hill. The army of Israel is on another hill. This Philistine has defied the armies of the living God. Now they come out to meet each other in this valley, in this battlefield. It is easy to spot Goliath because he's about 9 foot tall. He is covered with all this armor. And in front of him is the young man that is his shield bearer, that is going out to bear his shield, to hand it to him when he needs it. So you've got really 2 guys there against David, who is in his youth, who doesn't have on a bit of armor that you can see. He does have on armor, and it's the armor of faith, but you can't see it. And it says, when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him. I mean, he just looked at him and just turned up his nose. He kind of chuckled. For he was but a youth and ruddy with a handsome appearance. The Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come out to me with sticks? He sees the sling in his hand. He says, what am I, a dog? You've come out with me to throw a stick at me, to beat me away? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. He called on his gods. Now, I want you to remember that one of the gods of the Philistines was Dagon. And Dagon was a god that they had set up the Ark of the Covenant in the temple of Dagon. They had gone to bed, and when they get up, eventually they find the idol of Dagon fallen on its face and its head, now this is important, and its head laying apart from its body. So this is one of the gods that he is calling on. And as he calls and curses David, by this you've got to remember, he's calling on the idols. Corinthians tells us behind every idol there's a demon. So we've got spiritual warfare going on here also. And it says in verse 44, and the Philistine also said to David, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the sky and the beasts of the field. Come on, come on, boy, come on, come on. And as he's saying, come on, boy, come on, he's saying, you're going to be meat. You're going to be dead meat. They're going to eat you. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. I am coming in the name of Jehovah Shabaoth. And Jehovah Shabaoth, the Lord of hosts, is the one that is in charge of all the powers, all the angelic beings, and all the people on earth. There is not one power, one principality, one authority on this earth that he is not Lord over all of them. You're coming to me just with a spear and a javelin and a sword? My goodness, I'm coming to you in the name of the living God, the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. Now remember, we're putting a black cloud kind of around every time that they taunt God or taunt the armies of the living God. So you want to mark that here as you have also marked it in verse 36 and as you have marked it in verse 10 and as you have marked it in verse 26. And so he says, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hands. Now, how does he know that? He knows it by faith. He knows it because he knows greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. He knows it because it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. He knows that the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. He knows that God is the one that is sovereign, that sits upon his throne. God is the one that creates good and who creates evil, who creates adversity. God is the one who does all these things. He knows his God. And remember this, and we've said it before, the people who know their God will be able to stand firm. Remember, you're in a warfare, and if you're going to stand firm, you got to put on the full armor of God. If you're going to make it, you got to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. So he's not listening, so to speak, to the words of Goliath, of this Goliath. And you're not to listen to the threats of the enemy. You're to listen to the words of God, to the promises of God. And that's what he's doing. You're not to look at the enemy. You're to look at God, God who is over the enemy. And that's one of the ways that you have victory. But that's not the point that I have for you yet today. I want you to get to that point. But first, I'm going to read the scripture because I want you to hear every word of God. Why? Because God tells us that man doesn't live by bread alone, precious one. We live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And one of the reasons that people are defeated all the time, and one of the reasons that they stick their tail between their legs and go off like a whipped puppy, like that, is because they are not living by every word of God. They don't know what the word of God says. They don't know it in its context. They don't study it. Let me ask you a question. How many people do you know in the church that are studying the Bible on their own and going through the Bible chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and understanding what every book of the Bible's about? Well, he says this day the Lord will deliver you into my hands. Now watch this, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you. Now that is the key. That's the key that brings permanent victory over the enemy. We're going to see it again in just a minute. But it is not just to strike down the enemy, but it is to, I wish I had an extra head here so that I could just kind of wow you and pull my head back into my jacket and take this head and lay it over here. I mean, it would be a good demonstration, wouldn't it? But it's to take, I'm going to strike you down and I'm going to remove your head from your body. Now listen, if you remove the head, nothing's going to work because everything that makes the body work is up here in the head as it communicates and transmits everything to the rest of the body. So you can't live without your head. I mean, you can take out a liver, you can take out a kidney, you can take off an arm, you can take off a leg, you can take off two arms, and two legs. You can take all of those off, but you can still live. But you can't take off the head and live. And so this is what he's saying, and this is your key, and this is your answer, is if you are going to have victory, permanent victory, over the enemy, then, beloved, you have to deal thoroughly with the enemy. You have to deal thoroughly. You have to deal thoroughly with the head of the enemy. You have to decapitate it. We'll talk about it in just a minute, but let me finish reading this. He says, I will strike you down, and I will remove your head from you. Now, he hasn't done this yet. He's standing before a 9-foot giant that is in all this armor, has this tremendous sword, and all he has is a sling and 5 stones. He only needs one of them, but anyway, he has the 5 stones. He says, and I will give you the dead bodies of the armies of the Philistines this day. I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and to the wild beasts of the earth. It's not going to be my flesh. It's going to be yours. It's going to be the flesh of your army that's going to be fed to the birds and fed to the beasts. It says that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Every time you and I face a Goliath, beloved, there is a purpose in it. And the purpose in it is for you and me facing that Goliath to demonstrate to the world that there is a God in Israel, that there is one and only one true God. And his name is Yahweh, Yehovah, the all-sufficient God. He is Elohim. He is Jehovah Rapha. He is Jehovah Nisi. He is Jehovah Tsidkenu. He is all these names that comprise him and his character. And God wants the world to see that it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. You say, okay, but get to that part where I have victory, permanent victory over the enemy. We will right after this break. So glad you're back. I can't wait to finish. David is not finished talking to this Philistine, and I am not finished talking to you or to reading you this marvelous, marvelous scripture. I have it all highlighted in yellow because it's God speaking, and these are principles and truths that we need to know. It is God speaking to us through David, and God has recorded it here in the Word of God so that you and I understand that the words that we have here are the very words of God. This is why I want you to study the Word of God with me. This is why the purpose of this program is to bring you face to face with truth. This is why we write a study guide for you so that you can discover truth for yourself. So if you haven't gone to our website, preceptsforlife.com, that's preceptsforlife.com, make sure you do it after the program. Just go online and you'll find out how to download this, but you'll also find out about all the resources we have. You'll find out that we're working in 121 countries, that we're working in 66 languages, that we're all over the world, that we have studies for your neighbors that are speaking foreign languages, and we have so much. We have conferences, we have boot camps for teens, we minister to children, teens, and adults, to men and to women. I'm just one small part of this ministry that God has raised up and brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. And we want you to be part of it. We want you to join us. We want you to be our partners. And we're looking for people that will help us support this program because we need it. I mean, television and radio are very, very expensive. And we're on both. And because we're on both, it takes a lot of funds. But we believe that God has called us to establish people in God's Word, to teach them to study the Bible inductively. That means that you go straight to the Bible yourself, and it doesn't matter your education or lack of education, because God wants every one of His children to know and understand the Word. You know, I don't have any degree. I have a temperature, but I have no degree. But I can tell you this, that I have no greater joy than studying the Word of God and knowing truth and knowing how to live. As a matter of fact, in just a minute, I'm going to tell you how God delivered me permanently from a stronghold of what I call a stronghold of immorality. Well, let's go on, and then I'll be right back with that. I want to get back to the midst of David's speech to this Philistine. And this is what he says. He says, "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you." He says, "And I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth," and this story has gone far and near, "may know that there is a God in Israel." He says, "And that all the assembly may know that the Lord," now listen carefully, "does not deliver by sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's." We've seen that as we've done this little series on David and Goliath. "For the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands." He will give you into our hands. David wasn't standing there just in his singularity. He wasn't standing there just for David. He was standing there because this man had defied the armies of the living God. It says, "And then it happened when the Philistine rose and came and drew near to meet David, that David," and now catch this, I love it, "ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine." I mean, he didn't stand behind there. He didn't have to get up courage. He didn't have to go through all these positive thinkings and everything. David knew his God. And because he knew his God, he was able to take off. And when that Philistine started coming, I mean, he took off and he ran quickly to the battle line. "And David put his hand into the bag and took from it a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine," I love it, "on his forehead." I mean, he's got all this armor on, and yet right here is where that stone hits. Right there where there's no armor, right there on his skull, right there where it just absolutely causes him to go like this and just to keel over. And it says, "And it struck the Philistine on his forehead, and the stone sank into his forehead so that he fell on his face to the ground." I want you to get the picture. I mean, he's standing there. He's standing there huge and mammoth. And please don't think I'm huge and mammoth. All right, he's standing there huge and mammoth, 9 foot tall, all this armor, his shield bearer there, his sword, this mammoth sword of Goliath, and this little kid, not little kid, but this young boy, handsome and ruddy in appearance, but still a youth, comes. He has nothing on, no battle armor on. He takes that sling, he puts a stone in it, And that stone hits that Philistine, and it's like he just goes over. I mean, he just keels over. I mean, it is like it hits him, and all of a sudden, he is over on his face. Well, the enemy's gone. The enemy's dead. David can go home. Oh, no. What did he say he was going to do? And this is the key to today's lesson. This is how you get victory over the enemy. All right, let's look at it. Now, what do you do? Listen to what it says. Then David prevailed over the Philistine, and God wants you to know this, with a sling and a stone, and he struck the Philistine and killed him, but there was no sword in David's hand. Then David ran. I have it underlined. It's so exciting. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword, drew it out of the sheath. And whose sword was it? It was Goliath's sword. It wasn't David's. He didn't go into battle with a sword. So he goes over to the Philistine. The Philistine is lying there. His sword is accessible. He reaches down. He takes out that sword. And as he takes out that sword, he just pulls it out of Goliath's sheath, takes that sword, and goes whomp. And it rolls. The head rolls. And when the head rolls, listen, there is permanent and total victory. Do you know why you're defeated over and over and over again? It's because, beloved, you don't deal thoroughly with the enemy. You don't take the sword of the Word of God and chop off his head. I told you that I had a problem with immorality. I was immoral before I was saved. After I was saved, I was still having immoral dreams. Sometimes I would find myself suddenly attracted to a person, to a man. And then sometimes I would just find these DT thoughts coming at me, these dirty thoughts. And I realized eventually, hey, this is not just my flesh. This is a warfare. And I thought, God, I can have victory over my thoughts during the day, but how do I have victory over my dreams at night? And God showed me, it's warfare care. Okay. And so I stood against the enemy, and I took the sword of the Spirit, and I cut off his head in that area. I said, God, this body is your temple. And I want you to fill me from the top of my head to the tip of my toes. And God, I don't want anything unclean inside of me. And God, I know that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And I know this is spiritual warfare. And therefore, claiming the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony, and that's how they overcome the devil in Revelation chapter 12, I command the spirit of immorality in the name of Jesus Christ and by the blood of Jesus Christ to be gone from me. And I lopped off his head. And I want you to know that I was set free. I was set free. You say, never tempted again? Oh, sometimes, but not like it was. It wasn't tormenting. And when the temptation came, all I had to say is, sorry, you're dead. You're dead meat. And I'm not giving in. Beloved, God intends for you and me to have victory, total victory over the enemy. So if it's been a problem of immorality, get rid of the internet. I mean, whatever it is, you cut off the head of the enemy. You get rid of the source of that power. You have no place in it. The reason you haven't had victory is because you have not cut off the head. And that's what you will have to do. We'll talk about it more in the next program. Welcome to Precept Ministries International. We're at our women's conference, and we have been studying Ready Today for what is coming tomorrow. And we have had a great, great time. We have had such incredible, incredible fellowship. But that fellowship has been around the Word of God. Because when you come here, what you do is you open the book. And we take you through a book of the Bible, or we take you through a topic, but you're looking at the Word of God. We have seminars to meet all your needs, but the fellowship that goes on around the tables, the prayer times, the singing, it's awesome. We wish that you were here. Why don't you come and join us at our next women's conference? So what is our precept for life after this program? Well, it's this. Don't count on a stun gun with your enemy. I mean, take a sword and cut off the enemy's head. You have to deal thoroughly with the source, with the head of power, if you're going to have victory. I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. It says, do not give the devil an opportunity. Now, in my Bible, there's a footnote there. There's a little one by opportunity. And that footnote is telling me, it could be translated, do not give the enemy a place of occupation. In other words, he's got to go. You've got to deal thoroughly with the enemy. You say, but I live with the enemy. I sleep with the enemy. And the enemy's not going to go away. And the enemy hates me. And, you know, that's a whole nother story. And that's something that we would have to deal with in another program. But let me just say this. You never let the enemy define you. You never let the enemy define you. And you never listen to the enemy's description of you, because it is coming from the one who is a murderer, who is a liar, who does not abide in the truth, who has a methodia, a scheme, the one who is out to get you and to destroy you. He's a destroyer. So if you're going to have to live with the enemy, if it's someone in your life, if it's a person that's in your immediate family, or if it's somebody that you're married to, basically, the Bible tells us how we're to treat our enemies. We're to love our enemies. We're to do good to those who despitefully use us, but we do not have to let the enemy define us. So you have to behave as Christ wants you to behave. And in every situation, there's a different aspect from Scripture. But the main thing that I want you to get today, the precept for life that I want you to understand, is this. You've got to lop off the head of the enemy. You just don't strike him down. You do what David did. You get the sword and you cut the enemy's head off. You let it roll so that you've dealt thoroughly with the enemy. So this comes out in very, very practical ways. Whatever the enemy is, if it's a thing, if it's a problem, if it's a besetting sin, then what you do is you lop off its head. You take away its power, you take away its authority, and you get rid of it. Of course, you can't do that to a person. You'll end up in prison. So I don't want you to end up there. Okay? So you learn how to live with them and how to live according to the precepts of God.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. To order your copy of today's program, log on to our website at preceptsforlife.com. To download your free copy of the study guide or to find out more about Precept Ministries International, click on our website or call us today at 1-800-763-1990. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.